So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma on Daf Pei Hem Beis that one is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, and the Gemara brings a bunch of sources in an attempt to prove this from the Psukim. And along the way, the Gemara brings from the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, V'shamu v'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos, lasas sa Shabbos, that you should keep Shabbos in order to make it Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, how do you keep Shabbos in order to make it Shabbos? Either it's a Shabbos inherently. So the Gemara says it's referring to a Chayla B'Shabbos that who might not be alive next Shabbos unless he violates this Shabbos. So Chalel love Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbi. A person should violate this Shabbos in order so that he'll be around to keep next Shabbos. So keep this Shabbos in a way. Shabbos B'nai is also Shabbos. Keep the Shabbos in a way. Lasas is the Shabbos that you'll be around next Shabbos. But then the Gemara quotes from Shmuel, who said that the real, the best source, the fact that Pikuach Nefesh is Derech HaShabbos, is from the Pasuk in Parashas Achrei Moisa, V'chai Bohem V'loshi Yomus Bohem, that we should live through the mitzvahs and not die through the mitzvahs. And the Gemara prefers this reason to all the other reasons that are mentioned, because this perhaps includes not only Vadei Pikuach Nefesh, but perhaps even a Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, even if it's only a doubtful, life-threatening situation, a person would also be able to violate Shabbos based on this additional drasha, V'chai Bohem V'loshi Yomus Bohem. What is considered to be a suffik pikuach nefesh that would allow one to violate Shabbos? So, Shechtan the Bikvei Etzon outlines three categories of suffik sakana. One might be, and he's discussing kol Torah kula, relates of course to Shabbos as well. But in general, when one is being doich isur, what is considered to be a suffik sakana that could entitle one to violate an isur? So, Shechtan quotes on Pischei Tshuva and Hilchos Aveilos, quotes some sefer. He's discussing a Mishnah, a Braisa Masechta Smochis. The Braisa says, and once in a while, it turned out that they buried people while they were alive. They thought they were dead, and it turns out they're alive. If you follow the news, I've collected this over the years. Every 6 months or so, it turns out that someone's on the autopsy table, they're in the morgue, and they start knocking on the door, and it turns out that they're alive. There's a bunch of people flatline. It's not just, it really happens. Some people's happened to more than once, okay, but they flatline, and it might happen during shear, okay, but they flatline, and then they come back to life. So this was a concern at those times. So they wanted to implement that everybody should have to wait 3 days before being buried. Some Sefer argues, even if this happens to occur, it's so rare that that's not a suffix akona that one would entitle one to violate the Isurim of Halanas Ameis or Nival Ameis. So it has to be something that occurs with some frequency, not Echa Mine Alofim. Echamini alofim is not considered to be a suffix sakana, says the Sam Sefer, that would allow one to violate Isurim. But by the same token, if it happens with such frequency, that happens, it's not a mir sheino matzoi, it's a mir matzoi. It happens, 10% of the time. So then, the Magen Avraham Hilchos Shabbos quotes from the Radvaz that we would compel one to violate Shabbos. You wouldn't have the right to say, I'm not nervous, I'm too firm, I don't want to be mechal Shabbos for this case of suffix sakana. If it's mir hamatzoi, it happens 10% of the time, we would compel one to violate Shabbos in that situation. In fact, the Ramban writes in the Torah Sa'adim, it's such a situation, a person who's machmerin himself is chasid shostus, is misguided, and inappropriate chasidus. Someone just told me on Shabbos, one of the famous Gay Rebbes, I don't want to say who, but he was alive at the time, he remembers when it happened. He was told to have a surgery on Shabbos for a heart condition. He didn't listen. He said, I'm not violating Shabbos, and he passed away that Shabbos. Anyway, the Beis Yisrael, one day the Gay Rebbes. So anyway, so he's supposed to, if it's a Mir HaMatzoi, so then what, we would compel one to violate Shabbos in such a situation. So it's not up to, a person doesn't have, any discretion in that area. Mm-hmm. However, Rav Shechter then outlines a third category of suffix sakana, and that is not that it's Echmini Alofim on the one extreme, on the other extreme, and it's not, Mir HaMatzoi in the other extreme where it's a 10%, but it's rather somewhere in between. So this is throughout Kol Torah Kula. Rav Shechter claims that, that there a person has a discretion. It's up to, up to each person. You might have the right to say, Shom Rapsoim Hashem, if this is something that everybody does and no one cares about the risks that are involved, so then you might have the right to say, I'm not nervous, and you don't have to, refrain from that activity. But if a person is nervous, then he would have the right to violate Isurim in pursuit of, saving himself from such a situation. Rav Shechter bases this on the comment in the biography of the Chazon Ish that during the Second World War, when they were bombing, so there was a shot. Was one allowed to turn off the lights because the Germans would be able to see the houses which were populated based on the lights, the German planes. So the shot was a person allowed to turn off the lights on Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish said that a person who's nervous has every right to turn off the lights. I think he quoted there from Chafetz Chaim, also something similar to that. And if a person is nervous, then he has the right to violate Shabbos. If a person's not nervous, then he shouldn't violate Shabbos. Once the Chafetz Chaim was once talking about, he says there in the biography of the Chazon Ish, that the Chafetz Chaim was once invited to discuss Chilul Shabbos for Parnosa. There were people going to work on Shabbos. So Chafetz Chaim refused to do it. He said because they're nervous that if they don't go to work, that they won't have what to eat, and that they'll, it's a suffix sakana. So therefore he wouldn't come out against those who were going to work on Shabbos, because they felt that they were nervous that it was a suffix sakana. So Chazon Ish once commented after that incident with the Chafetz Chaim, he said, don't think that the Chafetz Chaim would have gone to work on Shabbos. He wouldn't have been nervous. He was just saying that those who happened to be nervous, you know, that they were literally going to lead them to a life-threatening situation, so he didn't want to make a public, a protest against them. But the general rule is that a person who is afraid for his life, so, in, you know, if it's that level of suffix hakanas, then would have the right, and it is not echamini arba from a guy who's nervous after he stubs his toe because he once read in the Inquirer as he was checking out at the supermarket, man stubs toe and dies, you know, so then we wouldn't allow him to violate Shabbos, echamini arba from, even if it once happened, or ingrown toenail, unless it's, you know, very infected or something, you know, so we wouldn't allow you to violate Shabbos in that situation. But if it's somewhere in between, it's not a mida matzoi, it's not a chmini alafim, it'll be up to the person's discretion whether or not he's nervous or not, if he's allowed to violate Shabbos. So that's based on the concluding drush of the Gemara, that b'chai b'hem b'lo sh'yomas b'hem. However, what happened to the drush that the Gemara raised along? The Gemara raised numerous drushes along the way, but what about the drush that the Gemara raised, the v'shamu b'nei sosa Shabbos, asos ha-shabbos, ha-lelov, Shabbos ha-achas, the yishi ishmeh, Shabbos ha-sarbe, once we get to the conclusion of v'chai b'hem b'lo sh'yomas b'hem, is that drusha totally gone? You know, that was like a havamina of the Gemara. Or do both drushas continue to exist? Just each one, you know, perhaps teaches us something new about the hetadim v'chal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. V'chai b'hem comes to teach us, you know, even suffix sakana, but perhaps the svar v'chai b'hem v'chalel av Shabbos hachas k'desh yesh m'shabbos hasharbe continues to be operative. So it seems from the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam when he's discussing that sometimes Beis Din has the right to tell us to violate even mitzvahs loisa, say, the Kumva say, the Migdar Milsa, sometimes Beis Din has the right to tell us to violate one of these surim in the Torah in order to accomplish something great. So the Rambam compares it to a doctor who sometimes has to amputate one limb in order to save the entire body. The precedent for that, the source for that, the Rambam quotes at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, is from Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma, Shabbos Harbe. Sometimes we have to violate one Shabbos in order to keep subsequent Shabbos. So it sounds like from that Rambam that the Rambam continues to subscribe, at least in somewhat, to that drasha. And similarly, the Nitziv writes in the Hemek Sheila that perhaps whether or not this drasha continues to function is machlekes between the Ramban and the Bahag. The Rosh in Hilchos Yuma, in Mesechtes Yuma, quotes from Ba'alochas Gedolos, that one is allowed to violate Shabbos not only for a person who's born, but even an ubar, fetus, to save a pregnancy, one is allowed to violate Shabbos. However, the Ramban disagrees, and he says, no, one is only allowed to violate Shabbos for a person who's already been born, not before he's been born. Not a full-fledged life yet, you know, that would be v'chai b'hem v'lo sh'yamos b'hem. So therefore, we have no right to violate Shabbos until the fetus is born. Why would the Bahag argue? So the Nitziv explains in the Hemek She'elas, because the Bahag is of the opinion that we don't only have to function with that one drasha of v'chai b'hem v'lo sh'yamos b'hem. True, that only applies after a person is born, but we also have the drasha of chalel av Shabbos achas, k'dei sh'yesh m'shabbos tisharbe. Violate the Shabbos, you'd be around, you'd be alive in subsequent Shabbos to keep Shabbos. So the Ubar, so that certainly would apply to the Ubar, even though V'chai Ben Boshi Yomis Behem might not apply, that Jerusha would continue to apply. And the Bi'alocha Paskin is like the Ba'alocha's Gedolos, that one is allowed, Bi'alocha and Shin Lamed. Sivzayim Paskin is like the Ba'alocha's Gedolos, one would even be allowed to violate Shabbos for an Ubar, even though the Ubar might be a Suffolk Bar Kayama, Suffolk Nefel, the Ubar might not be a Vadai Bar Kayama. Nonetheless, viable fetus. Nonetheless, we have the right to violate Shabbos in the case of because suffix hakana is also derech Shabbos. So he puts the two together, even though he's not a v'chai b'hem v'lo sh'yamos b'hem yet, but he's chaver of Shabbos achas. And even though he's a suffix nefel, but the suffix pikuach nefesh is also derech Shabbos. Want to ask something? The Shulchan Aruch there passes parenthetically in that context, Shin Lam is Sivzayin. If after the child is born, he's a Vadei Nefo, of course he can't be Machal Shabbos to save his life. He's not going to make it anyway. Everything we do will be futile. And the Shulchan Aruch says every Ben Ches, any child that was born in the eighth month, was without a doubt a Vadei Nefo. In the times of the Gemara, there were two times a child could be born, either two gestational times, you know, either 7 month or 9 month pregnancy, 8 months, the child was certainly going to be not going to be a Bar Kayama. So the Chazon Ish and many other Paiskim, Dr. Abraham quotes in Nishmas Avram, all argue that might have been true in the times of the Gemara. In our times, we don't have, full-term pregnancy is not 7 months. Every pregnancy, full-term is 9 months. But there are children that are born in the 7th month and not the 8th month. Certainly, all my children, I don't think we ever made it to the 9th month. all born in the 8th month, and certainly even the 7th month, somebody at the end of the 6th month, you know, can still be a vada, you know, a bar kayama, and therefore certainly a, you know, it's a suffix bar kayama, and one would have be entitled to violate Shabbos in order to save their life. Of course, and this is all based on the Bahag, the Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma, Shabbos Sarba, even to save a pregnancy, one would be, that drasha continues to apply. Of course, we would not apply this for the Chumra. Shulchan Aruch says, Shin Chav Tesiv Dalet, we wouldn't say, well, if a person's not going to make it to next Shabbos, don't bother violating this Shabbos. You know, let's say we know there's no way he can make it, but we can prolong his life somewhat. Shulchan Aruch says we still have an obligation to do so. Even on Shabbos, even though he's only going to live Chai Yeshua, even for a short period of time. This machlekes, which perhaps is rooted, yeah?
Is that because of a Chai Baham? Like
perhaps because of a Chai Baham, yeah. Perhaps of a Chai Baham. The, this machlekes, whether we continue to operate with the drasha of Shem of Nei Yisrael Shabbos, Chalev Shabbos Achas, Deishishme Shabbos Harbe, might be at the root of a different, or might help us with a different problem. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yuma that one is allowed to violate Shabbos for a sakanas ha'ayin. For a sakana has to do with the eye, because Surana de ain't a believer tolu, because there are sinews that connect the eye to the heart, and therefore every sakanas ha'ayin is really sakanas ha'alev and a sakanas nefashas. However, the Ramban and the Rosh say this is only true with the sakanas ha'ayin. Every other sakanas aver is not good enough to violate Shabbos. You can't violate Shabbos to save another aver of the body. Only an ayin, because a sakonis ayin is related to sakonis halev. The Meiri in that Gemara says, no, you can violate Shabbos to sakonis ayin, and any other sakonis aver too? That's the Meiri. There's a Tosis in Masechta Sukkah like that. I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned it. Rosh Hashanah collects this in Big Ve'etzon. He claims perhaps it's not a Das Yochid. He quotes like that from the Metshuvos Malam and Vahoyo, who pointed out maybe it's not a Das Yochid, and maybe therefore it's not a Das Yochid. Maybe we can rely on it. And then he says, no, Tosis in Masechta Sukkah is a Tos Sefer. And he says, okay, maybe it is a Das Yochid, and therefore we don't have the right to rely on it. Anyway, the Ramban and the Rosh, though, are of the opinion Sakonis Sefer is not Sakonis Shafas, it's only Sakonis Ha'ayim. That's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. We'll get to it later. However, with regards to Shari Surim, the Shach writes in Yerodea, Simikuf Nun Zayin, that if a person says, you know, violate this Isur in the Torah, we're going to chop off a limb. So when a person has to give up all his money rather than violate an Isur in the Torah, but the Shach paskins, he does not have to give up a limb, he can violate another Isur in the Torah because of Sakana Sever, to save his limb. Segle Tau Es in the Hakdama. Yes, but when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, we say Sakonis Eiver is not Kesakonis Nefashos. How come when it comes to Shari Surim, we say Sakonis Eiver is Kesakonis Nefashos, and you don't have to give up a limb in order to violate an Isur in the Torah? That's one of the reasons Rav Moshe says that if Rav Moshe says if a person is not obligated, even if it's in order to save your life, you know, the life of your friend, you don't have to give up a kidney in order to save the life. It's a mitzvah. It's a nice thing to do so, but you know, there's no obligation to do so, even if it would be no danger involved on your part, or minimal danger. Loisamad adam reyecha cannot obligate you, or you will not be obligated to give up a limb rather than violate loisamad adam reyecha. Or Moshe was also asked about a kohen who lost a limb. And the limb now is, you know, got chopped off his finger. But the finger is metame tumas eva menachai. So how could the kohen is not allowed to come into contact with his own finger? So how can they reattach the finger to the kohen? It's eva menachai. So Rav Moshe has many svaras why it's allowed. But Rav Moshe's main argument is because he's not obligated to lose his finger for the Easter of tumas kohanim. When it comes to Shari Surim, Sakonis Eiver is Kesakonis Nefashos. So with regards to Shari Surim, Sakonis Eiver is Kesakonis Nefashos, how come when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's not Kesakonis Nefashos? So Goytal explains because when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the only reason we were allowed to violate Shabbos, or at least the Gemara entertained the possibility, the only reason we're allowed to violate Shabbos is because Kalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma, Shabbos is Harbeis, because Shabbos protects itself. It's concerned with itself. So violate this Shabbos, so you'll be around next Shabbos. That implies we're in the absence of that concern. You know, we're not the Shabbos are protecting itself. This really would have been one of the Yahari Val Yavors. Gila Rai, Shri Chazdama, Vaidazara, and Shabbos. It's just violate this Shabbos, you'll be around next Shabbos. Oh, but in the absence of that Svar, perhaps it was actually Yahari Val Yavors. So perhaps if we continue to operate with that Svar, Chalev, Shabbos Achas, Vish Yishma, Shabbos Harbe, even though we don't employ Flachumra, it does imply some sense of, that Shabbos is different than other Isurim. And therefore, perhaps there's some remnant of that in the fact that Sakana Sefer is not Sakana Nefashos by Shabbos, even though it is Sakana Nefashos in other areas. This, though, might make a difference with regards to a very important issue, which we're going to discuss at length, which is when we're allowed to be doicha Shabbos from Koach Nefesh. Is that because it's really a conflict between Pekuach Nefesh and Shabbos, but it's Pekuach Nefesh is trumps, it's victorious in that conflict, but it's Deicha Shabbos? Or do we say no, when there's a conflict between Shabbos and Pekuach Nefesh, so Shabbos was never said in B'makom Pekuach Nefesh, just like the Gemara says, you're allowed to bring Karbonos on Shabbos. Not because when there's a conflict between Karbonos and Shabbos, Karbonos Deicha Shabbos. There's no conflict because Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos with the understanding we're going to bring the carbon Tamei Shel Shachar and Tamei Shel Beinu Arvayim and the carbon Musaf. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knew we're going to bring Karbonos. There's no Shabbos without Karbonos. So too, is it almost inherent to every Shabbos is going to be a situation of Pikuach Nefesh? And when the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos, he understood inherently that there'll be Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos was never, it was Huchra B'makom Pikuach Nefesh. But do we say no? Shabbos is the Chuya B'makom Pikuach Nefesh. There is a conflict, but Pikuach Nefesh prevails. So perhaps this depends on what the source of Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, is Deicha Shabbos is. If it's because of a Chayba and Boshi Yamas B'Hem, that might imply that there is a conflict here, but the greatest imperative, the greatest value is life over Shabbos. So in that conflict, Pikuach Nefesh prevails. However, it's because of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbe, violate this Shabbos in order to keep next Shabbos, so then it's really not a violation, it's not that there's a conflict here, it's a Kiyum of Shabbos in order to violate Shabbos, to be around next Shabbos. But it's not a violation of Shabbos. It's not the two are in conflict. You're violating this Shabbos in order to keep the following Shabbos. For example, the Rechaim HaKodesh comments in the Pasuk, Achas Shabbos Isai Tishmeru, and you should keep my Shabbos. That's why Shabbos in the plural. So the Rechaim HaKodesh claims in Parshas Kisisa, because in fact there's two Shabboses. There's a Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, and a Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. The Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to violate Shabbos. It's a Heter Malacha. Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh, there's an Issa Malacha. But there's these two Shabboses. So too, v'shamu b'nei Yisrael says Shabbos, l'asos says Shabbos. Rechaim HaKodesh says, violate Shabbos. It's also Shabbos. You're violating Shabbos. It's also a kiyum of Shabbos in order to keep the following Shabbos. So therefore, rise the shmir Shabbos kochos in the name of Shlomo Zalman. Let's say a person violates Shabbos, but he thinks he's pikuach nefesh. The guy thinks he's having a heart attack. They get to the emergency room. It turns out it's just indigestion. Probably ma'aseh b'chol yom, yeah? So, does he have to clap al chet? We did the wrong thing, Hatzala, we all have to sit tainus, and do tshuva, because we didn't realize it was indigestion. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, that's what we're obligated to do, midin Shabbos, is to violate Shabbos when we're confronted with a situation that presents itself as a suffix sakana. So that itself is a kiyum of Shabbos, says Shlomo Zalman. There's a Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, a Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh, Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, we have a hetem alocha. But it's really not an Issa, it's not that the two are in conflict, itself is a kiyum of Shabbos to violate Shabbos. The Malkum Pikuach Nefesh and no tshuva would be necessary. That perhaps might be the simple implication of the Shulchan Aruch, which tells us Shin Chav Ches Siv Beis. Shulchan Aruch says that whoever asks a shayla when he's confronted with Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Harei Zeh Shofech Damim. Usually the rule is in Halacha it's better to ask first, do second. Yeah, before a person gets married and you have a suffix with the nisu, and better to ask first. Then go through at the wedding and ask the question afterwards. Even though in YU, it's always better to ask forgiveness than to ask for permission. But you don't give away the secret, to the undergraduates. But Lamaisa, when it comes to halacha, the general rule is to ask first, do second. But there's a few areas where that's not true. So one of those areas is, with regards to Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, we do first. If we did wrong, we did wrong. But you do first, ask second. So the Mishnah Berurah, though, Sifkat and Vav, quotes from Yushalmi, that is a different girsa, that which was not Hashoyo b'makom Pikuach Nefesh, Hanisho b'makom Pikuach Nefesh. A person who's asked the Shailo, the Rav, has to do tshuva, because he didn't give shiurim on Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh. Reshechter, when we introduced this section, told us this should be the first section before Erevin. Is Pikuach Nefesh, because every Rav has to give shiurim on this, so this is the most important thing that we have to teach, because if you don't give it, you ask the Shailo. So then the Mishnah Berurah explains, the Rav has to speak about these things. And if a person asks you a shayla, that means you didn't speak about it enough, and that they don't know what to do, and therefore it's your problem. Therefore, Renubuker told the story that once a Rav people were Machal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, but they thought it was Pikuach Nefesh, but they did wrong. So they asked Rabbi Neuberger, I don't get these kinds of shaylas, what can we do for tshuva? No. Ramosha has a few tshuvas like that. How do you do tshuva for this Avera? Not typical shaylas you count in the Rabbanus, but so Renugre asked Rabbi Shechter. So Rabbi Shechter said, the people don't have to do tshuva, you have to do tshuva, because you didn't give enough shiurim about it that they didn't know what to do. However, this issue, whether pikuach nefesh or hutra d'chuya, seems to perhaps depend on the two sources that we have for pikuach nefesh. And perhaps is a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Beis, quotes from the Gemara Sechtes Yuma, when a person is violating Shabbos, so we do so not on the ketanim and noshim, but rather using Yisraelim Gedolim. Why don't we use noshim and ketanim? So Tosfos and the Ran explain, because if we use noshim and ketanim or nachrim, people will think that it's only, you know, it's really not a good thing to do. And therefore we gave it, you know, to other people to do it, and we passed it off, we punted it to others who are not as well informed as we are. So in order to counteract that mistaken impression, we attempt to do so. Davka Yedei Yisraelim Gedolim, it should be the male adults, you know, who engage in the Heter Pikuach Nefesh in order to teach, you know, it's a teachable moment to teach everybody that this is the right thing to do. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Lamedal, of course, in the Rambam Perush Mishnayos, it should be Yedei Gedolei Yisrael, the Rav. I've had this, the Rav, done it in my shul. Not only because it's important to teach the people, you eat your own cooking. You know, if I pask in a certain way in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, I'm going to eat the food too, to show the people I mean what I say. So too, you can't be the Pesach of an Erev and not carrying the Erev. It just doesn't look good. So too over here, if you're going to say, give a hat to Pikuach Nefesh, you have to be willing to do it yourself. You know, not sometimes people go to a doctor in the community. But from doctors, they say, you know, go to him to ask a shayla on Shabbos, do we have to go to the hospital? Someone was knocked, my father-in-law was a dentist, so someone was knocked on the door, he had a dental abscess. So he asked, is it safek sakana? So he says, it is. He came to the door, my father-in-law said, it is. He says, you should go to the emergency room. He said, you know, I don't want to go to the emergency room, I don't want to violate Shabbos, you know, drive at Shabbos, or take a taxi, whatever. So he said, you came to me, what do you want me to do, drain the abscess? He says, I should violate Shabbos? It's okay for me to violate Shabbos? Is that okay for you to violate Shabbos? So he said, the guy himself had the dental abscess didn't want to do it. He wanted the doctor to violate Shabbos. So that, of course, is we have to be, if we're going to give a hat to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to be, we have to understand this is something we have to engage in ourselves. You can't pass it off to others. And perhaps even Gedolei Yisrael should be the one to do it. However, the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says no. That assuming, you know, if there is that mistaken impression out there, that's something that we do have to correct, and we have to teach people that everyone should be Mechal Shabbos. People shouldn't hesitate. But if there is no fear of a mistaken impression, everybody's well informed, we all know the halacha, but there's a nachri who's available, so everyone should attempt to lower the Easter as much as possible and ask a nachri to do it rather than doing it ourselves. And that's a general rule that the Ramah has. Of course, the concern of the Shulchan Aruch or the Tais in the Ran is real, but if that concern has been mitigated, one should attempt to lower the Easter as much as possible. In fact, the halacha goes so far as to say in Simei Reish Ayin Ches that a person who doesn't lower the Easter as much as possible when he has such an opportunity is in fact chayv chatos. The rule is hakal katchila, you do the lesser of two isurim that you're presented with, and if you don't seize that opportunity, then a person perhaps could be chayv chatos. We always attempt to lower the isur as much as possible. A nachri is always preferable. I don't like using ketanim for things because it gets very complicated and people abuse that. It's always a bad idea. Nachri is always the best thing, but if a person has a nachri available and he doesn't use it, Sabir Alacha claims, you know, assuming that there's no delay in the care of the patient and there's no mistaken impression, then what will result come about as a result, then you should lower the level of Isa as much as possible. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Mincha Shlomo and Rabbi Chanan and the Kavit Shiurim and Ksubis Ois Yud Gimel, so they both argue that this idea that we attempt to lower the level of Isa as much as possible only applies if both options that are open before us, one a greater Isa, one a lesser Isa, are equally accessible and convenient. Let's say one is more difficult or less convenient. They're not equal. So then we don't have to lower the level of Isa as much as possible. For example, Chayla needs hot water on Shabbos, but it's at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't have any hot water available, but my neighbor who's sleeping might. So Shlomo Zalman claims, I have no right to go wake up my neighbor to get hot water out of his Shabbos, sir, and I'm allowed to cook water on Shabbos for the Chayla. I could go next door. Yeah, but you're inconveniencing your friend. You have no right to do that. The two options that are presented before you are not equally convenient and accessible. And therefore, you don't have to go with a level of Isar in that situation. We wouldn't apply a Kaal Kaltriva. Similarly, the Mishnah Berurah and Shin Lamed have come now, of course, from the Sefer Chassidim, that the Gemara tells them, Masechtas Nida, that Chassidim HaRishonim would only be Meshamesh Mitoseihem on Shabbos. Would not be Meshamesh Mitoseihem on Shabbos. You know, relations on Shabbos, because they thought that the day you gave birth was the same day that the child was conceived, and it is 9 months in advance, they didn't want to have to be Mechal Shabbos for childbirth on Shabbos. So they thought they could prevent that by only engaging relations during the week. So you see, far out in advance, you already have to try and prevent situations of Chilul Shabbos. So Sefer Chassidim says, let's say a woman is in her ninth month, she should already start moving, and she knows she's going to have to deliver in a hospital or something. She should already attempt to do whatever she can to prevent pikuach, you know, the chilul Shabbos. So she should already go stay in a hotel by the in-laws if they live closer to the hospital, rather than staying in her own home, where she'll have to be mechal Shabbos to get to the hospital on Shabbos. However, in the Sefer Teres HaYoledes, that's Rabbi Zilberstein's Sefer on Hilchos Leida, that's of course Rabbi Yashiv's son-in-law, close there from Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Moshe Sternbach, they know, they apply to Shlomo Zalman's Pesach here, that you don't have to go and live by the in-laws or in a hospital before Shabbos. The only time we say a kal kathila is if everything is equal and equally, you know, equally available and convenient. This is not convenient to go stay in a hotel for the entire ninth month. Or, you know, some people even to stay by the in-laws for the entire ninth month is not going to be, you know, gatenished. It's not a good idea. So you can stay home, even though I think Rav Shechter tells people, though, to go stay by the in-laws the whole ninth month or something if they live closer to the hospital. Like the Sefer Chassidim. And of course, it's Midas Chassidus, but one is not obligated to do so, make her din. The Sefer Torah Sayyidus, though, does continue. He says, if she's already in labor, just the doctor says, you know, you have a few hours to get to the hospital, don't come now, call me when the contractions are, you know, so and so minutes apart. She's going into active labor, though, you know, anytime soon, so then you shouldn't wait, you know, at home. You should go before Shabbos. If a person has such an opportunity to go before Shabbos, you shouldn't wait till the last minute. Similarly, Rav Moshe writes, that let's say a doctor knows he has to be in the hospital Friday night, later on. So Rav Moshe says, you shouldn't wait. You know you're going to have to be in the hospital an hour after Shabbos starts. Then, you know, you shouldn't wait at home until Shabbos starts and then go in an hour later. You should go in before Shabbos. But Rav Moshe argues also, if the doctor knows he has to be in the hospital Shabbos morning, so then he should already go before Shabbos. What are you going on Shabbos? You know you're already going to have to be there on Shabbos. So there, Shlomo Zalman argued, as I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, Shlomo Zalman argued, it's quoted by Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, that no, the person has the right to stay at home, even though you have to lower the level of visa as much as possible. That's not all things being convenient, all things being equal. Here it's more inconvenient to spend the night in the hospital, even, you know, if he's not going to have to be there 12 o'clock at night, let him stay at home and have his Shabbos. You know, he has to be there 15 minutes after Shabbos, go already. But if he, you know, if all things are not equal, then he wouldn't have to go immediately. So this Ramadha says that a person has to lower the level of Issa as much as possible, to ask a Nakri when possible, and it's not going to create a mistaken impression. So that seems to imply that Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Dechuya. It's a conflict that needs to be avoided as much as possible. At least according to the Shulchan Aruch, though, it might be that Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that a person does not have to minimize the conflict as much as possible, and you could do so at Yisrael and Gedolim. You shouldn't ask a Nakri to do it. However, in the Sefer Emek Bracha, that's Avraham Pomeramchik, one of the Talmidim, the Brisker Rav, he argues, now, even the Shulchan Aruch holds it's Dechuya. Just the Shulchan Aruch is more sensitive to the mistaken impression that might be created if you ask a Nachri to do it. So Shulchan Aruch says, do it yourself. But he also holds it's Dechuya, and if it wouldn't create a mistaken impression, perhaps he would have to ask a Nachri to do it. However, there's another place in the Shulchan Aruch which seems to imply that Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra and not Dechuya. Because Shulchan Aruch says in Shin... let's say you have a chayla on Shabbos who needs meat. I've never encountered this. I don't know what chayla, you know, needs fleishiks. Haven't seen that yet. But presumably there might be such a chayla that needs fleishiks on Shabbos. And we don't have any kosher meat left. We ate it all by Kiddush. Nothing left. So what should we do? We could either shecht an animal on Shabbos, of course the tail skull Shabbos, or we could give him a nevela meat. What should we do? That dilemma. So Shulchan Aruch says you should shecht the animal on Shabbos rather than feed him nevela meat. Or why? So some Achronim interpret this based on Myron Rutenberg, this quoted by the Rush, because Nevela with regards to, you know, Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya. You know, you're not necessarily going to encounter a situation where a Chayla has to eat Nevela meat. So those two are independent concepts, which happen to be in conflict here. It's okay, so Pikuach Nefesh trumps Nevela, it prevails, but there's a conflict that should be avoided. However, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra! Every Shabbos came out, there's going to be a situation Pikuach Nefesh. So Shabbos was given with that understanding, we're going to have to violate Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. So perhaps Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch passing, it's better to shech the animal than to feed him nevela meat. However, it could be that that also doesn't mean that Shulchan Aruch passing Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra. It could be Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Dechuya. However, the Shulchan Aruch is concerned with something else. This is the way the Magen Avraham and the Taz learn that Sif in Shulchan Aruch. Is because when you feed the guy nevela meat, how many surim are you doing? Every kezias of nevela meat is a separate iser. If you shecht an animal on Shabbos, you violated one big iser, you know, skila. Nevela is a lav, but every kezias you feed him is another iser. So you have many small Isurim versus one big Isur. So that's the Shaila Rabbi Yosef Engel has in the Sefer Lekach Toiv. Which is worse, one big Isur or many small Isurim? You know, killing the guy through paper cuts is worse than the bullet wound. You know, which is worse? So, not that a lot of his chas v'shalom was paper cut, but you know, that's, so which is, so perhaps Shulchan Aruch feels many small Isurim are worse, or many Isurim lav is worse than one Isiskila. And that's why Shulchan Aruch says, better to feed him, you know, better to shech the animal on Shabbos rather than feed him nevelu meat. But at least the Ramah holds, it seems clear, that because Nefesh on Shabbos is duchui, and that's why the Ramah says it's a situation that you have to attempt to mitigate and lower the level of Isur as much as possible.
Should Torah have a case where you have to have two Ta'anim? One.
It's complicated with the whole sugi menaches, but Riva b'shiurim is a whole bit. That's sugi meseches menaches touches on riva b'shiurim. Are you doing a greater iser? You know, when you shecht an animal, if it's a big, you know, animal or small animal, you violate the same iser. That's not necessarily true by every malacha. Sometimes malacha is defined not by the yak, but by detaching a chefta. So if you detach a bigger chefta, you know, every malacha it touches on the riva b'shiurim topic, which I don't want to get involved in now. It's just too complicated for us. Some halachas depend on, you know, is cooking a big pot versus cooking a little pot. Cooking the big pot is worse, even though it's one pot. Why is it different than shechting an animal, where the bigger animal is no different than the smaller animal? The answer is because shechita is focused on the maisa, whereas bishul is focused on the chefza. I hate to use that kind of terms, but, you know, the more you cook, the bigger your iser is, even though it's the same pot. That's why you can't add to a pot. Perhaps could add to a, you know, shecht a bigger animal. And then the Gemara Masechtas Menachos, which how many, you know, Isurim are you doing, might relate to that too. But because,
the,
yeah.
How long is the shear supposed to be?
As long as it takes. Okay. We're paid by the job, not by the hour over here.
I understand it's about like an hour and a half.
Yeah. But feel free, it's open door policy.
No, just like
well, my open door policy. Yeah, the because we pass like our mother, because nevesh and Shabbos is duchuya, so we should attempt to avoid it. You know, as a lower the level of Isa as much as possible, attempt to avoid the conflict. But if a person could avoid the whole situation to begin with, perhaps it should be something that would be avoided. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the because nevesh and Shabbos is hutra, so it's not necessarily conflict that you would have to avoid. The two are not in conflict to begin with. So this issue seems to also, yeah?
Wait, even if we go like there's the thing about like equal like convenience, and does that still apply?
Of course. Okay. Even though you have to lower the level of ease as much as possible, the two have to be of equal status. If everything's equal, if it's not everything equal, then no. That is exactly what Shlomo Zalman was arguing. But this issue might also be at the root of, you know, these two perspectives might be at the root of the issue whether one has to avoid pikuach nefesh to begin with on Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Meshach to Shabbos, that they used to wash the baby in hot water after a bris milah as an antiseptic. Of course, we don't do that anymore. We have better methods of antiseptic. They used to boil, you know, have hot water prepared before Shabbos when they knew there was going to be a bris milah. What if the water spills? So can you continue to perform the bris milah? Even though by doing so, you're going to put yourself in a situation where after the bris milah, we're going to have to heat up water because of pikuach nefesh to serve as an antiseptic. So that's machlokes between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor, Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, and later on in Masechta Shabbos. So the opinion of the Baal HaMor is we don't do the bris milah in that situation. When the water spills for after the milah, you know, it spills before the milah, I have no right to do the bris milah, put myself in a situation where I know I'm going to have to violate Shabbos pikuach nefesh. The Ramban disagrees and he says, no, you don't have to void, you know, ein le mitzvah mekayim v'shaita, do the mitzvah. Oh, later on you have a situation pikuach nefesh, you have to heat up water to serve as an antiseptic. But the Ramban seems to imply that pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is not a situation that has to be avoided. I could put myself in that situation knowingly. However, according to the Baal HaMor, it seems like a situation that should be avoided, and therefore you shouldn't do the bris milah when I know that the water for after the bris milah is already spilled. Because now I'm going to have to heat up water, milah chadchila. The Chazon Ish argue that perhaps the Baal HaMor doesn't mean because nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya. The Baal HaMor means you shouldn't put yourself deliberately in a situation where I know I'm going to have to violate Shabbos, because that seems like it's not that I'm being doecha Shabbos, but I'm being mevatel Shabbos. The Chazon Ish developed, if Shechta discussed it, the Bikvei Hatzon, based on the comments of the Chazon Ish that I quote in the Per Adar, that one is not allowed to put oneself in a situation deliberately where he's going to have to violate Shabbos, because that's like kamasna lakar as a Shabbos. It looks like I'm totally negating and obliterating Shabbos. And to obliterate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is yahar val yavar, to totally ignore a mitzvah of the Torah. The Chazon Ish was once asked about the plane that had to leave in order to save refugees on Shabbos. So Chazon Ish said, they're allowed to take off on Shabbos. What choice do you have? Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos. Then they asked him the next week, again, can the refugee plane take off on Shabbos? This time the Chazon Ish said no. So he asked him, what's the difference? Last week you told us yes, how come now you're telling us no? Because he said, if this is going to happen every week, to do this every week is not Chilul Shabbos, it's Bittul Shabbos. And there's no such heter. I don't know where to draw the line. That's a very slight, you know, the nuanced distinction between Chilul Shabbos and Bittul Shabbos. You know, would you say, you know, we have to have hospitals open in Eretz Yisrael, they have to have police on call every Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael for life-threatening situations. So, I don't know where we draw the line between Chilul Shabbos and Bittul Shabbos of Shechter and the Big Fayetzon already. Yeah, Shechter and the Big Fayetzon already makes the point that this is a very difficult thing to apply, but that's how the Chazon Ish suggests perhaps what the Baal HaMor is driving at. But the Baal HaMor is typically understood as, no, it's a regular thing, that because Nefesh and Shabbos is the Chuyah, and therefore why should you put yourself in that situation deliberately to perform the Bris Milah, where I know afterwards I'm going to have to heat up water to serve as an antiseptic. Yeah, what do you want to say?
I don't quite get the difference between Bittul and...
Chazon Ish was of the opinion that if it's a contingency, a situation arises, of Chilul Shabbos, you know, Pikuach Nefesh, okay, violate Shabbos. But you're going to put yourself in a situation where you know you're creating a Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. That's not Chilul Shabbos, where, oh, a situation arose that you have to respond to. You deliberately orchestrated the situation. That's, Shabbos doesn't exist for you. That's your Harivai Avar, to overlook Shabbos.
And so, like, Lamashal, it's like you get shot and then you need surgery versus like scheduling a surgery for Shabbos.
I didn't say that.
No,
you didn't create the need for the surgery. It would be like creating the need for your own surgery and then doing it on Shabbos. Yeah, that's you hear what I'm saying. Even if you schedule surgery, we'll get to your point in a second. You didn't create the need for the surgery. You didn't orchestrate that.
Okay.
Here you. It's two are different. According to here, performing the Bris Milah, you orchestrated the need and then you violated Shabbos because you performed the Bris Milah. No, the water spilled. You need the water afterwards to serve an antiseptic.
Fine.
Well, the child now has no wound that needs an antiseptic. Oh, you're going to do a Bris and now you need an antiseptic? You deliberately created the situation.
Okay, I see.
So Rabban doesn't have a problem with that. And when someone comes with a shaita, go ahead, you're doing what you have to do, it's permitted. Baal HaMor says, who gave you the right to create such a situation? So the Chazon Ish says, it's like Kimasna, Lachar Sa Shabbos. You're deliberately violating Shabbos. I would have rather interpreted the Baal HaMor to mean, no, but Pikuach Nefesh Shabbos is Dechuya. Yes, you have a bit of Bris Milah, but you can't put yourself deliberately in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh because there's a conflict between the two. It's true, Pikuach Nefesh prevails, but it's a conflict that should be avoided. So at least minimum, it seems, the Baal HaMor holds Pikuach Nefesh Shabbos is Dechuya. However, the problem is, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Yud Ches that one is not supposed to take a boat trip before Shabbos. Ema Fligim Bisfina Gimo Yom Kedem Shabbos Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is permitted. Why are you not allowed to take a boat trip before Shabbos? So the Baal HaMor there explains many different opinions in Mishnah. The Baal HaMor explains because sea travel was dangerous in those days, and we're afraid you're going to have to violate Shabbos in order to save your life. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're not supposed to put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to have to violate Shabbos. However, the Gemara there says, b'makoy mitzvah, it's permitted. If you're traveling for a mitzvah purpose, shluchay mitzvah, allowed to leave Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even though sea travel was dangerous, you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos with kuach nefesh. And you're permitted to leave. And the Baal HaMor says you're permitted to leave b'makoy mitzvah. So the kasha is, if that's true, how come a person is not allowed to perform a Bris Milah on Shabbos where he knows he's going to have to heat up water to serve as an antiseptic? Putting yourself in a situation deliberately of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, here's B'mokoy Mitzvah, the Mitzvah Milah. What's the difference between that case and this case? It's a famous contradiction in the Baal HaMor. B'mokoy Mitzvah, you're allowed to take a boat trip. Why can't I perform the Bris Milah where I'll need the water afterwards to serve as the antiseptic? So many Achronim deal with this contradiction within the Baal HaMor. Soloveitchik dealt with it in a famous letter to Dr. Belkin, when they were deciding whether or not to send smicha students to serve as chaplains in the army, where they knew that there were going to be situations, perhaps, they were going to have to violate Shabbos. In the army, were they permitted to send them into that situation, to place them in those positions in the first place? So he dealt with this contradiction in the Baal HaMor. So many Achronim distinguish that, the Baal HaMor is telling us, you're not allowed to perform Bris Milah on Shabbos to put yourself in such a situation, even though it's B'makom Mitzvah. The Gemara said for Shabbos earlier about taking a boat trip is you're leaving Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's before Shabbos. So if it's a Makkah Mitzvah, you're allowed to put yourself in that situation. On Shabbos, you shouldn't put yourself in that situation. Other Achronim distinguish not between on Shabbos versus before Shabbos, but boat travel was a suffix whether you would actually encounter pikuach nefesh. Ah, that's permitted to put yourself in that situation, b'makom mitzvah. Performing the bris milah, without a doubt, b'vada, you will have to heat up water to serve as an antiseptic. So when you will inevitably have to violate Shabbos, undoubtedly, that's prohibited even b'makom mitzvah, to put yourself in that situation. But if it's only a suffix whether you have to be mechalal Shabbos, then it's permitted. So again, the two hatayim that the place can have is if it's b'makom, if it's only a suffix whether you have to violate Shabbos, or if it's before Shabbos, you're putting yourself in that situation, then it's permitted. On Shabbos, where you'll inevitably have to violate Shabbos, that would be prohibited. So therefore, if Soloveitchik said it was permitted to place the musmachim in these chaplain positions, because it was before Shabbos, when they were placed there, and it wasn't necessarily inevitably going to occur that they would have to violate Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, but those are the two heterim the place can have. Anyway, we paskin, you should lower the level of visa as much as possible. It seems to be that we paskin pikuach nefesh and Shabbos is dechuya, and therefore a person should attempt to avoid these situations as much as possible. If it's b'makom mitzvah, you can put yourself in that situation. If it's not b'makom mitzvah, you really shouldn't avoid putting yourself in that situation. So therefore, the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa writes, which was mentioned earlier, if you have an elective surgery, you know, it's not a chuf. You shouldn't schedule it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because as we know from Avraham Avinu, sometimes 3 days after the surgery is the most difficult. So you might have to be Mechal Shabbos. So if you have an elective surgery, it should be scheduled Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Oftentimes you don't have a choice. The doctor has one day he does surgery, and the rest of the days he's busy with other things. So you might not have a choice. But if you have a choice, it shouldn't be scheduled for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It should be scheduled for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to avoid putting yourself in a situation because of Nefesh on Shabbos. Or if a person, let's say, needs to get to the hospital. So as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, it's always preferable, and time is not of the essence, it's always preferable to call a taxi, you know, which is an Issa Derabbanan. Using the phone is a Derabbanan, asking an Achri to drive you is a Derabbanan, rather than driving yourself, because when you get to the hospital, you're never going to have a hetter to turn off the car. You have a hetter to get there, you have no hetter to turn off the car. You might have to move it out of the emergency lane into the parking lot, but you have no hetter to turn it off into the parking lot. Okay, maybe they have valet parking. Newer hospitals have valet parking. But 2 a.m, there's no valet parking. So always a better idea. And so many assume you encounter driving a car. Always better to call a taxi or call a Hatzalah, an ambulance. Rather, if time is of the essence, call a Hatzalah. Of course, it's permitted to drive yourself, but you encounter many more ancillary tangential issues. But because we pass, we call it Nefesh and Shabbos is dechuya, all things being equal, you have to lower the level of visa as much as possible. So, Shechtoran, you should avoid putting yourself in a situation, Bikuach Nefesh, in the Melech Achil, unless it's B'makai Mitzvah, and it's before Shabbos, it's not inevitable, you're going to violate Shabbos. So, Shechtoran argued, why does a person have a hetter to go into medicine in the first place? He's putting himself in a situation where he knows he's going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. So, don't say, well, it's B'makai Mitzvah. It's not B'makai Mitzvah. Moshe argues in Igros Moshe that just like there's no mitzvah to make money in order to give tzedakah, there's no mitzvah to learn medicine in order to heal people. It's only a mitzvah incumbent upon those who already know medicine. Now you have a mitzvah to heal people, but there's no mitzvah to learn medicine in order to heal people. That's what Moshe said. That's why a kohen, Moshe responded to a kohen, he said, well, there's no hetter to go to medical school where you have to come in contact with mesim in order to heal people later on in the future. There's no mitzvah for you to learn medicine to heal people later on in the future. Let someone else heal people. So the Sotur of Shechter argued, well, what's the hetter to go into medicine where you know you're going to have to violate Shabbos before heaven? So Shechter explained that the heter is because when I go into medicine, I go into medicine to heal people during the week. That's entirely permitted. Once I know medicine, and when I'm learning to heal people during the week, now I have to heal people on Shabbos too. Okay. Then that's the heter to learn medicine. That's the heter to become a paramedic. I really hear the Hatzalah during the week. I have to heal people on Shabbos too. Okay. Once I learn medicine, that's something that will come my way. But let's say I need to be Mechal Shabbos in the course of learning medicine. Then Rav Shechter was of the opinion, no. Once you learn medicine, now I have a hetter to be Mechal Shabbos. I have no hetter to be Mechal Shabbos in the course of learning medicine. So that's why Rav Shechter advocated that the person is obligated to find a Shem Shabbos residency. Well, so some of the residencies you can avoid Chilul Shabbos, but you know, most residencies it can't be avoided unless it's a Shem Shabbos residency. Rav Shechter lobbies very hard that every medical student should try as hard to find the Shem Shabbos residency. Rav Tendler was more permissive, because in his opinion, the Jewish community needs, I once heard him explain this way, the Jewish community needs doctors in every specialty. There are some specialties that have no Shomer Shabbos residencies. But we as a Jewish community need from doctors in every specialty. That itself is an overarching concern. Okay. I'm not going to get involved in that machlekes. But so there are some who are more lenient in that regard. But when a person is learning medicine, without a doubt, he doesn't seem to have a heter pikuach nefesh unless he's healing patients. Sometimes residents do stuff that heals patients. But if he's not doing anything that healing the patient, it wouldn't seem to have a heter. Just to learn medicine. Learning medicine is not pikuach nefesh. Because pikuach nefesh is duchuya, so Rav Moshe said, even if a person learns medicine, he shouldn't list his number in the phone book. It's a kind of antiquated idea. We don't have phone books anymore. But a person shouldn't list his number in the phone book. He should attempt to avoid even his patients contacting him on Shabbos. Most don't to paskin that way, because the Piskei Tshuva says in Hilchos Avelos and Siman Shin Ayin, quotes from the Poskim, "Lo mikol adam zeichel l'israpos." Everybody needs their doctor who knows their chart, who knows the situation, knows how to heal them, and therefore every doctor should treat his patients on Shabbos. He shouldn't avoid them, because "Lo mikol adam zeichel l'israpos." Rav Moshe also, because pikuach nefesh is dechuya, you should avoid being on call on Shabbos. Let someone else do it. Rav Moshe was also of the opinion that a person could switch his shift with a non-religious Jew. Certainly with an Achri is permitted, but even with a non-religious Jew, Rav Moshe's opinion is permitted, because I'm doing him a favor. Before, if he's open to switching, because before, the guy was going to be Mechal Shabbos to drive, shopping or to the golf course. Now, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos for Mikuach Levish. So Moshe said, I did him a favor. Not that I gave him an Eitzarot, it's an Eitzatoyva. Instead of driving, what you normally do, drive to the hospital and save people. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Mincha Shlomo disagrees. And he says, no, even though the guy is saving people, he has no intention for the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, of achai ben, of yamas ben, of odam reyecha. He has intention that he's earning his job, he's doing his job. He's earning a parnasa. So he quotes from the Sifrei, and it's kavan lecho b'sar chazir, but also b'yod b'sar tleh. A person intends to eat, do an iser, even though he ended up, stumbled upon doing it in a permitted fashion, then he would not have any zchus. It would still be the same iser. He requires a kapara. So too, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt
that
he still needs the kapara. So you can't say you're doing him a favor. He's not violating an Easter. He is still violating an Easter. So therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, you're not allowed to switch shifts with a non-religious Jew.
I thought the part was that in the hospital, most of the things you're going to be doing are Isser Derabanan. And when he's not in the hospital, it's likely he'll be doing more Isser Derabanan. So.
Really? Okay, maybe.
Is anything electronic you're doing, you're staying on?
That's a different argument. That's a different argument. You can make such an argument. I hear it. I don't know if it's true.
Is it because it's not going to be Manat Esor? Whereas if you did it, you might be Manat, or he won't?
No, it's because I want to switch out of my shift. Why should I be the one on call in Shabbos? It's a conflict that we should attempt to avoid. So he says, you want to switch your shift, but don't. So Ramesh says, you can even switch to the non-religious Jew. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, you can't, because how can I tell you, come into the hospital on Shabbos? How can I give you, an Eitzarah? Ramesh says, it's not an Eitzarah. Someone has to be here to help people, save people's lives. I'm giving him an Eitzatayvah. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's an Eitzarah, because he doesn't realize he's saving lives, and it's a mitzvah to do so. He realizes he's saving lives. He doesn't realize it's a mitzvah to do so. He thinks he's earning his parnasa. He thinks it's the same as going to the golf course. So unless you have kavanah for pikuach nefesh, you don't get the heter. Ramesh says, no, you don't have to have kavanah for the heter. Pikuach nefesh is pikuach nefesh, whether I have kavanah for it or not. Yeah. This issue also touches upon the heter of what's known as ancillary care. Shad Sarach of the Shulchan Aruch says in Shinchav Chesiv Dawud, quotes the name of the Ramban, that we treat the Chayla on Shabbos the way we would treat him during the week. We oisela kol masher gil and lasas lebechol. So the Magen Mishnah, which quotes this language of the Ramban, which later appears in the Shulchan Aruch, was medayik that it sounds like even that which is not necessarily linked directly to a life-saving activity would be permitted on Shabbos. Everything that we would do during the week, we're allowed to do on Shabbos. So even, we take care of the patient from A to Z during the week, we'd have to do so on Shabbos, even though it involves school of Shabbos. The Bi'a Locha asks, how could this possibly be the case? Of course, that which is critical care is permitted on Shabbos, that's pikuach nefesh mamish, but how am I allowed to move his bed and turn off the lights and get him, do all the other stuff? That's not saving his life. It's not critical care. How could that possibly be permitted on Shabbos? Sefer the Bi'a Locha limits this only to Yisurim Derabanan. Brisker Rav, in his Sefer on the Rambam, quotes from Reb Chaim, who permitted even Yisurim Deiraisa in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, held that the Magen Mishnah applied even to Yisurim Deiraisa. That was the Psak of Reb Chaim. Even that which is not critical care, ancillary care, could also be permitted with regards to an Yisur Deiraisa. Even according to the Bi'a Locha, you could do this for Yisurim Derabanan. So you could ask a nurse to move the bed up and down. The moving the bed up and down is using electricity, no fire there. Of course, it's only Derabanan anyway. Everybody can move the bed up and down, even though moving the bed up and down is not going to save his life. Or, turning off a light is not going to save anybody's life. You're allowed to do that. Turning off a light is only Derabanan. So much of what goes on in the hospital is Derabanan. You could do it as ancillary care. But Reb Chaim was even maker with regards to an Issa Deiraisa. But why? Why should ancillary care be permitted at all? So Reb Avadia explains in Chavadas, Reb Chanan has it in the Klevi Tzaris as well, because perhaps Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. If Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya, yes, you have to limit your heter as much as possible. But if one will assume Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra, so then perhaps, all the floodgates are open. Then you can do not only critical care for the patient, but even ancillary care should be permitted as well. Based on this understanding of the head of the Shulchan Aruch, of Shai Tzarachov, so Avadia argues the only time you could be permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for the ancillary care is if you're already Mechal Shabbos for the primary care of the patient. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachos, Karbanos and Shabbos are permitted. It's Hutra entirely. Every Shabbos we're going to have to bring Karbanos, the Kadosh Baruch Hu understood, and he gave us a mitzvah of Shabbos that we're going to have to be a carve out for Karbanos. Fine. There's no conflict at all. So Gemara asks, are you allowed, but the Evarim, Chalom Veivarim, that have to be burned, Agami Mizbeach, did not necessarily have to be done on Shabbos. You could wait to do that on Matzah Shabbos. So Gemara says, do you have to wait to burn the Chalom Veivarim on Matzah Shabbos? You could even do it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Kevin Shekvar Dachsas Shchita Sas Shabbos, since the Shchita already pushed aside Shabbos, you could even burn the Chalom Veivarim on Shabbos too. So Rabbi says, the only time you can be Mechal Shabbos for the ancillary care is if you're already Mechal Shabbos for the primary care. But if you weren't Mechal Shabbos for the primary care, so you don't have Kevin Shekvar Dachsas Shchita Sas Shabbos, you can't be Mechal Shabbos for the ancillary care. That was his understanding. But once you're Mechal Shabbos, once for the primary care, you can be Mechal Shabbos for the ancillary care as well. Rav Shechter quotes in Avnei Nezer an entirely different understanding of this Magen Mishnah, because Rav Avadia's definition is hard to justify. It seems to be we paskin like the Ramah, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya. You have to attempt to avoid the conflict as much as possible, to lower the level of Ezer as much as possible. We seem to paskin you should avoid Pikuach Nefesh when possible. So Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos seems to be Dechuya. Why should we have a heter of Shar Tarachov, of ancillary care? It's not the primary care of the patient. So if Shechter quotes from the Avnei Nezer that it's based on a Radvaz, it's permitted because when you're dealing with a Chayel Sheyesh Bo Sakana, a person is already teetering, yeah? Between life and death. You never know if you don't turn off the light, you don't fix the bed, what might tip the scales in one direction or the other. So since we don't know what might tip the direction of the scales in one direction or the other, maybe you know when you're dealing with Chayel Sheyesh Bo Sakana, moving the bed might make a difference. You don't know. He's still, he's teetering back and forth. So that's the heter of Shad Tzarachov. Oh, that's the heter of Shad Tzarachov. Even if you were never Mechal Shabbos for the Pikuach Nefesh, a guy came in, presented in the hospital without any Pikuach Nefesh, as a Chayel Sheyesh Bo Sakana, he should already be allowed to do even Shad Tzarachov. This heter, that's the Avnei Nezer says that, yeah. And that seems to be, you have to assume that way, because we pass Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos as Dechuya. Why do we have then a heter of Shad Tzarachov? Must be because of this different explanation. Even though Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya, dealing with a Chayel Sheyesh Bo Sakana, you never know what might make an impact on his status. This is relevant for any procedure that could be pushed to Matzei Shabbos. Rav Avadia quotes from the Tshuvas Mitzvah Aryeh. Let's say a guy presents in the hospital with and he needs a procedure. But it could be, and it involves Chayel Shabbos, but it could be pushed off to Matzei Shabbos without compromising his care. Do we have to push it off to Matzei Shabbos? He's going to need the procedure. But do we have to push it off to Matzah Shabbos? Can we even do it on Shabbos? This comes up often with regards to stitches on Shabbos, which might or might not involve a Malach HaDeiraisa, maybe Kosher, maybe Teufer, maybe Baina. It's not our topic right now. But stitches on Shabbos might involve, according to some, involves, in my opinion, it doesn't, but according to some, it involves a Malach HaDeiraisa. So oftentimes a child will present in the hospital with a wound that is a big gash. At some point, it's going to need to be stitched up to prevent infection. It doesn't necessarily have to be right now. Depends on doctors who you ask, depends how deep the wound is. Sometimes it needs to be stitched up immediately, sometimes it doesn't. So let's say a kid comes in, doesn't need to be stitched up right now. We pushed off to Matzah Shabbos. Do we have a heter to do it now? So Rav Avadia claims, well, it's no worse than Shar Tzarachov. Either way, the wound is going to need to be stitched up, otherwise he risks infection. So he's a Chayel Sheyesh Bo Sakana. If we clean out the wound, and the doctor says, you don't have to stitch it up, but it might get a bad scar, he's no longer a Chayel Sheyesh Bo Sakana. He's a chayla she'ein bo sakana, as he's still a chayla, there's a wound that, he's going to have a scar his whole life. So you could ask a nachri to stitch it up, but you can't ask a Yisrael if it involves a malach d'orais, and he's no longer a chayla she'ein bo sakana. But let's say, the guy's going to need it stitched up, otherwise he'll get an infection and die. Fine, but it could be pushed off till Matzei Shabbos. So do we have a heter to do it now, or do we have to push it off until Matzei Shabbos? So there, Rav Avadia claims it should be no worse than Shar Tzarachov, than ancillary care of the patient. So are you allowed to do it? Better for him to do it now than to ask him to wait Matzei Shabbos holding a bandage over his wound. So it should be no worse than ancillary care and should be permitted on Shabbos. Can it even be permitted with a malacha d'oraisa and only nisa d'rabbanan? So the Bi'ur Halacha would say it can only be nisa d'rabbanan. So you could have a nachri stitch it up on Shabbos. You couldn't have a Yisrael stitch it up on Shabbos. But let's say you get to the hospital and the only doctor on call is, you know, Dr. Goldberg, you know, or Dr. Stein. The guy's probably a Jew. So can I ask him to stitch up the wound on Shabbos? They could wait till Matzah Shabbos. So we could probably ask him. He can probably rely on Reb Chaim. You know, Reb Chaim held he could even violate a Deiraisa for Shabbat Sarachov. Certainly, if the guys are not Jew, though, he could ask him to stitch it up. Now he wouldn't have to be required to wait until Matzah Shabbos. Shabbat Sarachov would allow you to do it now. You wouldn't have to wait until Matzah Shabbos. Because of Shabbat Sarachov also, so the Nishmas Avram says, once you're stitching up the wound, you can stitch it up the way you would normally stitch it up the whole week. You stitch it up with 8 stitches, or 10 stitches, or 50 stitches, or 60 stitches. You can stitch it up all the way on Shabbos too. It's Shabbat Sarachov to stitch it in the normal way instead of going on the cheap on the stitches. Either way, Rabbi Neuberger added, the doctor's not going to listen to you if you ask him to use less stitches. He'll compromise his quality of his care. He'd be open to a lawsuit. But you can do it anyway because of Shabbat Sarachov. A guy loses a limb. So even though it's a Sakana Sefer and he needs to be stitched back on, even though Sakana Sefer is not Doicha Shabbos, it's true, since we need to be Mechal Shabbos anyway to close up the wound, to stitch up the wound, so once you're stitching something, so you can stitch back on the finger too. That's no worse than Shaar Tzarokov, than ancillary care. True, it's not saving his life, but it is saving a limb. So we have to stitch up the wound anyway. It's a Sakana Nefashos, otherwise you'd be open to infection. So it should be no worse than ancillary care. And according to Reb Chaim, you could allow deraisas. According to Bi'ur Halacha, only derabbanan. But again, a non-religious doctor, even if he's Jewish, he could be semich and Reb Chaim and violate even deraisas. But where do we draw the line with ancillary care? Let's say a guy says, oh, I need to watch the television, I need the newspaper. So we need to discuss that. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed, Sif Aleph, that let's say Yoledes comes into the hospital on Shabbos and she asks us to turn on the light. The doctor said, we don't need the light on. She wants the light on. And I'll add another wrinkle. She's blind. She doesn't even know if we're going to turn on the light. So Gemara says, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed, Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, you're allowed to turn on the light in order just to calm her down. For Yishuv Das, so Mishnah Berurah, the Arise of Kohen Gimel, it's you're allowed to violate Shabbos in order to calm down the Chayla. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Vav Sif Tes, let's say a guy says, get my relative, I want to tell him something before I die. So then you can't be Machal Shabbos to bring the relative here in order to calm down the Chayla. Why not? What's the difference? The guy says, turn on the light in order to calm him down. We're allowed. The guy says, I want to speak to my relative before I die. And he's all upset about it. We're not allowed to bring the relative here if it involves a Malacha D'oraisa. So Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa explains, as well as the Tzitz Eliezer, that it's because when a person is afraid we're not taking care of him properly, we can violate a D'oraisa. So the Yoledes wants the light on because she thinks the doctor can't help her in the dark. So when she's afraid we're not taking care of her properly, you're allowed to even violate a D'oraisa to calm her down. If it's just, you know, a person wants something, a newspaper, he wants to speak to his relative, perhaps even he wants the TV on, so you can violate a D'rabbanan to calm him down, but you can't violate a D'oraisa. So, but you can still violate a D'rabbanan. You know, there might be some chaylim who need to see. You know, television might distract them or something. I don't know why we took the television away from the chaylim. I can perceive a case where the chaylim... Newspaper seems a little ridiculous, but it's a distraction. You know, I don't know. I can see a situation like that. Not for most people, but I can see an outlier. Rabbi Neuberger said if it's ridiculous, you know, I guess it's just outlandish. Now, obviously, you have to draw the line somewhere. But if a patient believes that we're not taking care of him properly, you could even violate a D'oraisa. It's not ancillary care. That's the care of the patient himself. This, I believe, is very relevant for the doula situation. Rabbi Nitin Gavriel printed an article, I don't know, 20 years ago in the journal called Or Yisrael, where he offers doulas, which is a Jewish birth maid, you know, a Jewish birth coach, to violate a D'oraisa to get to the hospital on Shabbos to take care of her client, her patient. He says, anyway, all they're doing is helping with breathing and, you know, minimizing pain. She can't violate a deraisa to get there. So I would argue, I did argue, I printed an article 15 years ago, in my opinion, it should be permitted. Why? Because she believes, whether misguided or not, that the doula is part of her medical care. So even just to calm her down, we should be allowed to have the doula come. And statistics show doulas reduce the level, you know, the rate of C-section. C-section is a regular surgery, which is certainly pikuach nefesh, has mortality rates that are way higher than regular childbirth. And reducing pain, by the way, also might be part of the primary care of the patient. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman to put in a morphine drip on Shabbos, which might or might not involve a malacha deiraisa. Intramuscular injection there's no iser involved in that on Shabbos. I mean, it's a refuah, it's an iser derabanan on Shabbos, not an iser deiraisa. Even if it causes bleeding, it's unintentional, it doesn't happen every time. An intramuscular injection, you have to put into a vein. So that might involve a malacha deiraisa, because you need blood to see that you're in the vein. So that might involve malacha deiraisa. Nonetheless, you're allowed to put an intravenous injection in on Shabbos, and with morphine, because reducing the pain of the patient itself is primary care. That's the kind of stuff. So too doula, if it even reduces pain without the C-section, without calming her down, that she's not being taken care of properly. Just reducing pain might also. That's why you could put an epidural in on Shabbos. Epidural is just to reduce pain. It's permitted on Shabbos, even though it's an intravenous injection, because it's to reduce pain is permitted on Shabbos as well. So it seems to me, also, even if it's just ancillary care, the Bialacha says, if we're not sure if the ancillary care is ancillary or primary, even the Bialacha allows us to violate deiraisas. So it seems to me that the doula would be permitted on Shabbos.
Why did he
thought it's just pain and, calm her down. There are many persons we didn't allow. Now I think people are a little bit more lenient on these things. The Ramesha discusses about a husband who wants to go get into the ambulance with his wife on Shabbos. So, of course, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned that Dr. Abraham writes in the Nishmas Avram, it's critical that every person have an advocate on Shabbos. He even mentioned that he could fly across country to be with a relative who has no other advocate with them on Shabbos to serve as an advocate. So certainly, if most husbands, though, sometimes a husband is the worst advocate. That's another reason to have the doula. The doula knows what's going on. Husbands are like lost to the deer in the headlights. They don't know what's going on. So if a husband, though, can serve as an advocate, then for sure he would have a hetter to go with his wife on Shabbos in the ambulance. So Ramesha said, but Ramesha says a different argument. Ramesha says, even if it's just to calm her, the wife, down, as we eventually mentioned, she thinks that the husband is going to be a good advocate, or she needs him there to be cared for properly, so then that would be permit the husband to be in the ambulance as well on Shabbos. Blayach has an article where he said that they once studied, we used to have over here, a Belfer School of Mathematics. It was the subject of a Supreme Court decision when they shut it down. Could look into it. The Yeshiva University is zeichet to have two Supreme Court decisions. Neither one is a great school, but you can look into it. One of them was about the closing of the Belfer School. So when it did exist, they tried to study, does adding a person to a car increase the number of gas, and the number of times you use the gas on Shabbos? And they were unable to determine, because too many people have different driving habits and, how heavy the car is and how heavy the ambulance is. So Rabbi Blayach suggests that adding people to a car does not increase school Shabbos. So perhaps Ramesha's concern, doesn't even get off the ground. Why shouldn't the husband be allowed to enter into the ambulance? He's not going to necessarily increase the number of times you have to step on the gas to begin with. This issue of ancillary care also comes up with regards to a very common shaila. That is, a woman who wants to nurse on Shabbos, express her milk into a kli. Rabbi Neuberger discussed it towards the end. He discussed a woman expressing milk to relieve pressure. If it's li'ibud, chaliva, where it's not going to be used, then it's only nisa derabanan and can be permitted to relieve the pressure. What about a woman who wants to keep the milk to feed her child? So that's an isa deiraisa. To express milk into a cup is a malacha deiraisa of dash and mefarek, and can only be permitted by malkam, suffix sakana. So the Gemara says, Mesechtes Yevamos, every tinok stam tinok mesukan eitzel chalav. So I've heard some rabbanim say, every mother can express milk into a cup, using a manual pump, perhaps even an electrical pump that's on a timer, because stam tinok mesukan eitzel chalav. So that's a mistake. Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in the Har Tzvi, no, that was when they had nothing else to feed the child except the chalav. So if you're not going to be, nurse for the child into a kli, the child will have literally nothing else to eat. Now you have formula, you have other things you can feed the child. This child is not going to starve on Shabbos. If he will, then yes. But the child is not going to starve on Shabbos. So the stam tinok masukin eitzel chalav would not apply. But let's say you have a tinok, who's a chalash yesh basakana, is in the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. In my opinion, every child who's in the neonatal intensive care unit is a chalash yesh basakana. How do I know? Because otherwise the insurance company would not pay for it. That's a cloud godo. So if the insurance company is paying for it, and then you're in anything that's called intensive care, I presume you're chalash yesh basakana. So a child is in the intensive care unit. When a child is in the neonatal intensive care unit because they're born prematurely, the doctor will often recommend that the mother bring in her mother's milk because there are antibodies that are produced in the milk which can help in preventing infection. It's not conclusive, you know, and over the top, if it would be, we would ask every mother to nurse and would allow them to feed the baby formula. It's obviously not that significant of a risk, but it's, you know, when you're dealing with a chalash yesh basakana, child in the neonatal intensive care unit, everything matters, you know, everything makes a difference. So if you're dealing with a child in the neonatal intensive care unit, I think that the child should be allowed, the mother would be allowed to nurse, even with the electric pump on Shabbos, keep the milk and to bring it into the child in the neonatal intensive care unit, because it's like Shar Tzarochov. You never know how much the antibodies help. And the doctors claim that it helps somewhat. So it should be like Shar Tzarochov when you're dealing with Chayel Sheyesh Masakani. You never know what might make a difference. And perhaps even Dairaisis should be permitted, the Dairaisa of Mepharik. If the child is not in the neonatal intensive care unit, then I don't think it could be permitted. I am just telling you from experience, I don't like telling mothers to throw out milk that they express on Shabbos because they hate you afterwards. So I say to the husband, you tell them. I don't want to be the one to have to tell them. It's a very, there's some emotional attachment here, and I never want to be involved in that. It's a good idea to stay about away from that. Nursing mothers, don't get in the way. So the what's considered though to be a chalash yesh basakana, where one could even violate Shabbos with regards to nisa deiraisa. Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Chesiv Gimel that any chayla that's a makashal chalal from the shinayim v'lifnim, from the teeth and in on, is a chalash yesh basakana. So even a dental abscess could be a chalash yesh basakana. But, anything from the teeth on in could be a chalash yesh basakana. Rabbi Neuberger had his rule of thumb, which I think is a great rule based on the Aruch HaShulchan. We know what suffix sakana. We know whatever we deal with immediately during the week, that's a suffix sakana on Shabbos too. If during the week we wouldn't rush to the emergency room on Shabbos just because you're home, sitting around, you shouldn't rush to the emergency room either. Whatever you would drop everything you're doing and rush to the emergency room on Shabbos, during the week, that's what the suffix sakana on Shabbos too. So that's the general rule. What about mental illness? Could that be a suffix sakana that would warrant one to violate Shabbos with regards to the Raises? Sir Shechter quotes in the Mikveh Yetzon, Nefesh HaRav from Salvechik, who said the name of Reb Chaim. Mental illness also could be a suffix sakana, would enable one to violate even an Issa Deiraisa on Shabbos. Reb Maisha and Igris Maisha said it's only if a person is suicidal. But if Shechter thought we didn't have to go that far, even if a person, is at a risk of a breakdown, a mental, he needs to get to the, to the hospital immediately. Otherwise, he'll have a setback, and his quality of life will be severely compromised. It could also, perhaps, for months or whatever, extend the period of time. It could also warrant considered to be pikuach nefesh and would enable one, entitle one to violate Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Lamed Sif Aleph that, of course, a yoledes is a chodesh yesh basakana, childbirth. But the Shulchan Aruch says something here that we would not have expected. Shulchan Aruch, if you remember, was the one who said we don't have to minimize Yisurim as much as possible. Perhaps he held Gol Nefesh and Shabbos as Hutra. He could even use Yisraelim Gedolim. Here the Shulchan Aruch says you should try and minimize the number of Yisurim as much as possible with regard to the Yogadis. In Shin Lamed Sif Aleph. He says, Mishanin, you should do it in an abnormal way whenever possible. Do a kalachayat. So that's difficult. The Shulchan Aruch, by every other chayla, said he didn't have to minimize the number of Yisurim. How come by the Yoledes it's different? So the Brisker Rav has a little sefer on Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, and Sukkah. Yuma, Sukkah, you know what I'm talking about? It's a little kuntres by the Brisker Rav. So in that little kuntres in the back, he explains in his parts on Yuma that it's because there seems to be a steer in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Gimel, when you're dealing with the Yoledes who's sitting on the birthing table, you don't have to be Mashana. You don't have to do it at lower the level, level of Iser. Only when you're dealing with the Yoledes beforehand. So Brisker Rav explains, Shulchan Aruch is distinguishing between a situation that could turn into Pikuach Nefesh, like pregnancy, and a woman who is in active labor. When you're dealing with a situation that is is going to turn into Pikuach Nefesh at some point, so we treat it like Bikuach Nefesh now. Maybe we discussed, in the Shia, a person who has an illness, he's walking around with an illness, which ultimately will present itself in a greater fashion. So he's a Chayla, but not actively presenting as such. So even though you might have a hetter to be machal Shabbos in order to, you know, to take care of him, you should try and lower the level of isa as much as possible to prevent, you know, a situation of sakana from emerging, from presenting. But if the person is already in active labor, the woman is already in active labor, she's no different than any other chayush yesh basakana, and you wouldn't have to lower the level of iser as much as possible according to the Shulchan Aruch. We would hold you should, but it should be treated like every other suffix sakana, and would have all of the, you know, the heterum of ancillary care and everything, you know, that goes along with it. We already said a sakana's aver. We paskin is not considered to be a sakana's nefashas, but you could violate all isurim derabanan to save a limb. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned that from Dr. Abraham that we almost came out, it's impossible to tell for us, the layman, what's a sakanas aver. Even most doctors can't tell. A broken bone could lead to a blood clot or something. You never know what could turn into a sakanas nefashah, so you have to call Hatzalah and go to the hospital and have it looked at with, you know, greater detail. But if, you know, at least theoretically, a sakanas aver is not a sakanas nefashah, and it only violates Yisurim Derabbanan. What about if a person is not a sakanas aver? He's a chayla. What's a chayla? A person who has some situation which is preventing him from functioning normally. We'll define chayla she'ein bo sakana in a second. But a person who's a chayla she'ein bo sakana is a chayla, but he's not a life-threatening illness. So Shulchan Aruch quotes a few opinions. What is his status? Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin quotes four opinions. What is the halacha of a chayla she'ein bo sakana? We paskin, not to give anything away, hopefully you saw it already, we paskin like the third opinion, that you can only violate kalachar yad and amir lenachri. That's it. To do an Isur Kalachar Yad and Amir Lenachri. No other Isurim. The problem is, Isurim Derabanan. The problem is, Shulchan Aruch, later on, it's if Lamed Zayin, that's in Sif Yud Zayin, it's if Lamed Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch says, Rama says, that we can allow him to take medication. Medication is an Isurim Derabanan, maybe he'll come to grind up the ingredients of the medication to violate Toichim. So you're not allowed to engage in any medicinal practice that involves medication or could be accomplished with medication. Maybe you'll come to grind the medications for the first time on Shabbos. Issur Derabbanan. How can we allow a person to take medication on Shabbos? I thought you said the only thing a chayel she'ein bo sakana can do is kalachar yad and amir lenachri. So the Mishnah Berurah there, in Sifka and Kuf Chaf Aleph, quotes from the Radvaz. Shachta makes a big deal about this in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi in Sinan Vav, who distinguishes between gzeiros derabbanan and melachos derabbanan. Shachter claims, and this is based on the Radvaz, that what is permitted for a chol she'ein bo sakana is every gzeira derabanan, meaning don't do this, maybe it'll lead to that. But a malacha derabanan, like writing with your left hand, which is similar to writing with your right hand, you know, anything which is not really the malacha derabanan, but chazal prohibited because it's too similar, that is not permitted for the chol she'ein bo sakana. What is permitted for the chol she'ein bo sakana is all gzeiros derabanan. And medication is a gzeira, maybe you'll come to grind the medication. However, bottom line, that's how Rav Shechter paskins. But bottom line, the Mishnah Berurah writes, it's Sifkan Kuf Beis, in the name of the Chai Adam, if you have it, Shasar Chak, you could be make on any Derabbanon. Rely on that opinion, you could be make on any Derabbanon for a Chai Oshayim Bo Sakana. That's the meaning by many paskim. If you're dealing with a Chai Oshayim Bo Sakana, you could be make on any Derabbanon. The Shasar Chak.
It'll be
only
Xeris Derabbanon.
There's no other way to do this, so yeah. You know a Shasar Chak when you see it. Yeah. What is a chayla she'ein bo sakana? So Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Zayin, that means he's nofel l'mishkav, he's lying down. So Rav Shechter argues in the Mikveh Hatzon, it can't be literally that it means he's only lying down, because the Ramah there says that you're allowed to take care of a katan on Shabbos. You can ask a nachmi to cook for the katan on Shabbos. Let's say a katan wife usually has scrambled eggs every day. And scrambled eggs, let's say, are not oil al shulchan malachim. There's no problem with bishul akum, and even if there would be, it's for a katan. So you can ask the nachri to prepare his scrambled eggs every Shabbos, you know, on Shabbos too. Otherwise, he's going to throw a temper tantrum. So that's what the Ramah says, it's permitted. How's it permitted? The katan is not nafugu mishkav, he's throwing a temper tantrum. So Shechter said, what you see from here, from this Ramah, is that we have to expand our view of chayla she'ein bo sakana. What it means is a person who can't function normally. Here, the child can't function the way he normally does because he doesn't have his breakfast. So you see from here, perhaps an expanded view of chayla she'ein bo sakana means every person who can't function in the normal, the way they would normally function. This perhaps you also see, Shechter makes this point from the Ramah, Simim Resh and Gimel, the Ramah says that you're allowed to ask a nachri to put logs into the fire on Shabbos if that's your only system of heating the house in the winter. Why? Because hakol cholim eitz al akar. Whenever it comes to heating the house, everyone's considered to be a cholim. Why are we all considered to be a chayil when it comes to heating the house? We believe in the old wives' tale that if it's cold outside, you're going to catch a cold. Cold comes from germs. We know that. It doesn't come from cold air. It comes from germs. So why should the cold air, everybody be a chayil when it comes to the cold air? So Rav Schachter explained, must be that the Ramah is teaching us that it's because since you can't function normally in your house when it's freezing cold, you're going to have to sit with blankets and coats and this. So you can't do what you would normally do. That's why in Weiss writes in the Minchas Yitzchak, in our times, we're hypersensitive, that in the olden days, they were just hot when it was hot outside, and they suffered. Our times, where you know, we're all istinous, so we need the air conditioning. Can you ask an achri to turn on the air conditioning for you if you're very uncomfortable? So the answer is yes. If you can't function in the way you normally function, even certainly if you have a chayla, you have a zakeh, and you have a katan there, of course. But even if not, if it's really uncomfortable and you can't do what you would normally do because we're hypersensitive to the heat, so then you can say hakol chayla meitzal hachayim as well.
Can you just go to mechush?
No. Mechush means it's an inconvenience. I have a headache. I can do what I normally do. I have an inconvenience. It's bothering me. But I haven't been prevented. I haven't changed my schedule at all. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to stay home from shul. I'm not going to not go to shalosh shiddus.
So you're saying like not functioning.
I'm not going to cancel our lunch plans.
So like not functioning properly is that it has to actually change your action.
Change your schedule. That's what I mean by it.
Not like you soldier through it. Just...
Yeah, if you can soldier through it, then you're a bari with a mechush b'yalma. Okay, you have a nuisance. Okay. But if a guy, you know, all of a sudden a guy wants a hetter to take medication on Shabbos, you went to shul, you went to your daf yomi shiur, you had your company for lunch. All of a sudden the guy, you know, if he can't take his Shabbos afternoon nap, which he normally takes, that's his routine, okay, fine. But if the guy's doing everything he normally does, but it's a nuisance, then there's no hetter. But because of this, so the Yaakov Breis writes in the Chelkas Yaakov, and this is the quote in the name of Shlomo Zalman too, and many other poskim, that let's say infertility treatments on Shabbos. Couple needs to take pills, Clomid, some other pill on Shabbos. No one here is sick. We need the infertility treatment. So they can't function. Part of their body is not functioning the way they would like it to function. The productive organs, or, you know, so it's not functioning the way you would like it to function. So you like a chayle on Shabbos and would have a heter of taking medication on Shabbos. Or Rabbi Bleich has an article about Viagra on Shabbos. So perhaps a husband could take Viagra on Shabbos even kind of the mitzvah of Aina. Because that part of his body is not functioning in the way that he would like it to be functioning, and therefore he should have a heter like a chayle she'im bo sakana, have a heter on Shabbos. Or let's say a person can't sleep without his sleeping pill, or he can't wake up in the morning without his caffeine pill. Usually the same people ask the same shayla. The reason you can't sleep is because you're popping caffeine pills, but okay. So also be a chayle she'im bo sakana, and would be permitted. I know a guy who takes a sleeping pill just to get a geshmak Friday night sleep. I don't think that's permitted. You're a bari, even if anything. You know, you just want to have a deep sleep, you know. I don't think that it's a heter. But if a person is, you know, can't sleep, so then it would be, he would have a heter to do it. Yeah.
I thought there's another heter by sleeping pills taking away the fatigue is not necessarily called a refuah.
There are those that say that. I don't understand how that could be the case. Price can discuss it, but why should a guy who can't sleep be any different? You're saying it's Michael Brian. We'll get to it right now. So what you're saying is the following argument. The Shulchan Aruch says, and there are those who make that argument, I don't think it's valid. But Shulchan Aruch says, and Shlomo Zalman doesn't think it's valid either. Shulchan Aruch, I should say it the other way. Shlomo Zalman doesn't think it's valid, and I haven't. I agree. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Ches, Sif Chav Aleph, and Sif Lamed Zayin that there's a heter of what's known as Michael Briam on Shabbos. Of course, there's an issue to take medication on Shabbos, lest you come to grind up the medication. But let's say it's something that is a medication, but everyone who's healthy eats it too. Chicken soup might have therapeutic value. But people who are healthy have chicken soup. Or take walking might have therapeutic value. But everybody who's healthy walks too. So that's called Michael Briam. It's not obvious you're doing it as a refuah, and that will be permitted on Shabbos. So, you know, let's say a guy likes Ludens. People are, you know, Ludens is just candy packaged in a different way. It'd be mutter to take on Shabbos is Michael Briam. But let's say, you know, so that would be permitted. But there's another heter of Michael Briam. Let's say I do a medication, but no one here is sick. I'm a shugana, I like the taste of halls. Yeah? That's a medication, I think. No one takes that who's well. But you're Meshuggah and the guy's well and he wants to do it. It's permitted. There's two parts of the Heter Michael Briam. Either people are healthy do it and it has therapeutic value, or it has therapeutic value but I'm not sick. Then it's permitted. This was the Heter, they said it, the Levi of Rav Henkin, they credited him with this heter, that is permitted to take birth control pills on Shabbos because no one here is sick. It's a pill, it's true, and it has, you know, some medical benefit, but no one here is sick. So it should be permitted on Shabbos. Birth control pills should be permitted. So those that argue sleeping pills are permitted also because no one here is sick. I don't believe you. I think you are sick. There are people who go to doctors for insomnia. It's probably listed in the physician's desk reference as an ailment. Insomnia is a real thing. So I don't see how anybody could argue that it's not an illness, the fact that a guy can't fall asleep. But that would probably be the heter for the birth controls because no one here is sick. I don't think that's a heter, though, for vitamins. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Sivkan Kuf Chav, in the name of the Magen Avraham, also to be Machaze Gufo. Let's say a person is taking medication, but it's Lachaze Gufo, to make him stronger. He's not sick, but it makes him stronger. That's also included in the issue of taking medication on Shabbos. So therefore, if Shechter argues in the Eretz HaTzvi, that same Simon and Simon Vav, that taking vitamins on Shabbos should also be prohibited. That's also Lachaze Gufo. And that's the opinion of Shlomo Zalman as well. Therefore, Shechter is also of the opinion, since vitamins are to be viewed as medication and prohibited on Shabbos, Rav Shechter also thinks they don't have to be kosher. It's quoted in the OU documents. Because the medication on Shabbos, medication that's a pill that's swallowed, doesn't have to be kosher necessarily, if there's no kosher option that's available. Because pills are not really achilas adam. Rav Moshe disagreed, and the Gros Moshe, Rav Moshe says one is allowed to take vitamins on Shabbos, because Rav Moshe views them as food supplements. Ah, the Magen Avraham said that l'chazek gufo is aser, that's only if there's some physical, like the guy, you know, steroids. The guy eats it and all of a sudden he's, you know, Barry Bonds, you know. All of a sudden the guy is like, you know, he's a muscular guy. Oh, so then that's okay. That's a problem. But if there's no visible change, he takes him at a, you know, vitamin on Shabbos. No, Rabbi will guard you vitamins on Shabbos and Mutter because they don't work. He said, all it does is give you expensive visits to the restroom. He says, but it doesn't do anything. I'm not sure that's true. Okay. I don't know. You have to be Rabbi will to say those kinds of things. But Rav Moshe held it's like a food supplement. Some people get their vitamins from eating celery and some people get it from a pill. But, and l'shitosai shal Rav Moshe mipi ha-shmua held vitamins have to be kosher. Even pills, not chewables. Even pills have to be kosher. Because he viewed them as food supplements. But Shlomo Zalman and Rav Shechter view them as medication, and therefore, ideally should not be taken on Shabbos, unless it's a prenatal vitamin. Prenatal vitamins have folic acid. Folic acid is mamash sakonis nefashis. Every now and again, they have a conference here in Yeshiva where they advocate on behalf of folic acid. And you ask any doctor, they'll tell you, yeah, folic acid is critical. It makes a big difference in a pregnancy. And if a folic acid or prenatal vitamins could be sakonis nefashis mamish, and of course, should be taken on Shabbos.
The kid or the mother?
The mother, you know, ask the doctor. I'm not a doctor, but ask the doctor. There might be another heter, though, to take vitamins on Shabbos. The last thing for today, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that if a person drinks chiltis, which was a certain potion for an illness, which was not an illness, it was a suffix sakana, but once you take the chiltis, if you don't take it one day, you don't continue to take it for the following 3 days, it could lead to suffix sakana. So then the Gemara says, you're allowed to take it on Shabbos to prevent the illness from coming. Preventative medication is also permitted to prevent an illness. Preventative medication might also be permitted because no one's sick yet. Who here is sick? You're preventing an illness. No one's sick, though. So maybe that's like Michael Briam. But even if it's not, preventing an illness should also be a suffix, you know, preventing a situation from arising also has the terim of the illness itself, and therefore would be permitted to take the medication on Shabbos. However, there were those, the quote from Shlomo Kluger, who derived from this Gemara, anytime you're taking a pill every day, the reason why you're allowed to take this chiltos on Shabbos is because once you started a regimen of taking it, you're allowed to continue to take it on Shabbos. So Shlomo Kluger held, once you start a regimen, this might apply to vitamins too. If you take it every day, you can continue to take it on Shabbos. Rav Moshe disagreed with this. Rav Moshe's opinion was, no, the chiltis is permitted because if you don't take it, it could lead to suffix sakana. So okay, then preventative medication is mutter too, but not just because you started a regimen can you take it every day. No, there's no such head there. But if...
not for antibiotics.
So antibiotics, I believe... And this is my own shtick. You could ask around. I believe there's a reason why there's a protocol of taking 10 days. So the question always is, whenever there's a protocol, that's the Rabbi Neuberger discussed this, whenever there's a protocol that the doctors recommend, do we really have to then dig within to the protocol? They establish these protocols for a reason. So once there's a protocol of taking it 10 days to prevent infection, perhaps we should just follow, you know, the protocol and we don't have to investigate further. Rabbi Neuberger said sometimes yes, sometimes no with protocols. But I'm a strong believer. There's a reason why they tell you to take it every day. Presumably this, you know, it works better in that fashion. And I wouldn't mess with antibiotics. But other things you don't have to take, like vitamins, you don't have to take it every day. So some argue, well, once you're taking it every day, it's a regimen, and others are not. Don't believe in this. All right, have a shot.